You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is Long Term Memory Radio, and we're back. I'm Rana, and we have Dr. Michael Dworkind, President of Physicians for Global Survival, with us in studio. So, Dr. Dworkind, Dr. Helen Caldicott, the Australian pediatrician and passionate advocate for human life and dignity, spoke in Montreal on Friday, March 18th, at the Centre Saint-Pierre Community Centre, and we were both there. And personally, I found that her warnings really blew me away. I mean, she shared things that I wasn't completely aware of, which were pertaining to the history of Canada with respect to basically exporting uranium. Uranium is a main export of Canada, and that contributes.
That's
to...
That's right. We're a world leader in uranium, mostly coming from Saskatchewan, although there's mining in various pockets around Quebec, Ontario, and so on. But many of our listeners probably don't know that it was Canadian uranium that was in the Hiroshima bomb. And although we claim that we're not have a nuclear weapons program in Canada, we ship plutonium and tritium, key elements in the trigger and the core of a megaton bomb, a thermonuclear bomb, to the U.S. We even send U-238, which is another waste product of uranium mining that is not useful for using in a nuclear power plant because it's not fissionable, like uranium-235. Uranium-238, however, is used in weapons. You may have heard the term depleted uranium. These DU weapons have been used as very powerful in terms of their density. Bunker bombs and munitions against tanks and so on in various wars. Bosnia is an example that have relevance to us because those have continuing radiation effects in the fallout from their explosions. The half-life of U-238 is 2.5 billion years, so it'll never go away. And it releases beta radiation, which can be inhaled and cause all the serious carcinogenic, mutagenic, and teratogenic effects. Those are fancy words, meaning they can hit the gonads in a woman, in the ovaries, in the man, in the sperm, and cause changes in the children for generations to come.
And you know this very well as Dr. Helen Caldicott, because you're both physicians, and Dr. Caldicott is a pediatrician, and she was speaking about the cases she's seen and the cases that have been documented on the devastating effects of radioactive damage on humans. And what's shocking, I think, in all this, like, it's one thing to wrap our minds around the potential or the consequences of nuclear war and nuclear energy, but it's so... A lot of it is just so unsaid, unexplained, and misrepresented by the media, government officials, and military spokespeople. And so what, you know, from the point of view of Physicians for Global Survival, what do we need to know as people and about nuclear war and energy?
Well, when I first heard Helen Caldicott speak 25 years ago, I couldn't sleep for three nights. I was just blown away in the sense that how come I was sleeping? How come I wasn't aware of this reality? It happened to be a couple of years after Three Mile Island, so already there was a process of questioning in my own mind. And I started the second chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility at that time, her organization in Canada, in an attempt to wake up others to the reality. You see, the problem around it is people are afraid to wake up to this reality because it's so enormous. It's been, since the nuclear age, there have never been any kind of exchanges beyond Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Those days are commemorated in a ritualistic way, and we say never more, and we hope that a nuclear war will never happen. But this is, again, wishful thinking. When accidents have happened, there have been incidences where near misses, the missile crisis, the Cuban Missile Crisis is a very good example, where we were days away from destroying the planet. But I think people have what is called psychic numbing. This is when we are terrified and anxious about this kind of a threat, we choose not to think about it, especially if we feel that we are completely impotent from doing anything about it. And so demoralized, we shrink away from any kind of awareness. And the media, of course, is corporate run. The mainstream media chooses very selectively to give out information. And as the producer of uranium in Canada, we have a certain consciousness. We are selling uranium as this toxic material, not only toxic at the other end where it's used in power plants or to build bombs, toxic at this end where the tailings from uranium around the mines lying there open to the environment, releasing radon gas. Radon gas, just as a statistical analysis, is the second most common cause of lung cancer in Canada, just like secondhand smoke. Mm. This radon gas can come out of mines and from the tailings and is some of the major problems that exist with thousands of tons of this waste just lying around the uranium mines.
Now, we do have about a couple of minutes left to the show, so I wanted to ask you, what are some key suggestions that you would have for the public? I know that Dr. Helen Caldicott had many compelling ones, one of which was that Parliament should be run by physicians because they're dedicated to, you know, saving lives and to their well-being. And she also urged us to, you know, take matters into our own hands and be inspired by the people in Egypt and Libya and elsewhere and to basically claim our fate from our government. So what would your suggestion be that we need to do right now?
Well, plain and simple, get active before you become radioactive. And getting active means join another organization that has a common vision. Now, there are numerous groups locally and nationally and internationally that have been working on these issues that are actually giving hope in the nuclear age. For example, the international campaign to abolish nuclear weapons is our focus, which anyone can join. You can get on our website, www.pgs.ca, and get all the information you need and how to get more news about our various conferences and how to get involved. Project Plowshares is a church organization working for peace, has extremely good information out regularly. The Canadian Peace Alliance. You can Google all of these organizations, Pugwash, and so on, even Mayors for Peace. We have numerous groups that are working together who have broken the silence, who are hopeful that we can work towards zero. The recent success of our own parliament in the face of diversity within the parliament, this is one thing that all the parties have agreed to, a nuclear weapons convention. In other words, a plan, a roadmap where there can be a progressive reduction of nuclear weapons to a point where we can someday abolish them completely. And this convention has been accepted by the United Nations and has been accepted by numerous other countries as a plan to work towards. And if our government can now put its political strength behind it, it would be a wonderful thing. And as citizens who have the privilege of having a democracy, we should demand it.
I think we couldn't agree more. Well, I also want to say congratulations on the excellent news conference that was held on Monday, March 21st, that was formed by the coalition Sortons le Québec du nucléaire. Just what were your impressions by the media reception? Do you think that went well?
Well, there certainly were a lot of cameras rolling. I must admit there were numerous commentaries in the French media and some in the English. It was heartening to see so many diverse activists together. There were 12 of us speaking, and each with the same vision of getting Gentilly out of the plans for the future. We don't need it. It's not cost-effective. It's something that will only become problematic. And incidentally, when they say, oh, but think about the jobs, we have plenty of jobs for people at Gentilly to work on the waste problem and the decommissioning. Decommissioning is the way of the future for our nuclear scientists figure out a way of closing down these plants so they're safe from the environment for thousands and thousands of years.
Well, I think we're out of time for this edition of Long-Term Memory Radio. Dr. Dworkind is president of Physicians for Global Survival. Thank you for being with us today. And also thank you for having me. And also thank you to Mark Madison, who joined us via the phone, and to Tom. And I believe that we're getting ready to wrap up.